Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, titled, Ye Who Sometimes Were Far Off.
But Moses married an Ethiopian woman, and then Abraham married Keturah. And, you know, so there were these Gentiles who did come into this thing, but unless you actually left your Gentile culture and world and came into Israel and became a Jew, then you were separated. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. But contrary to this ridiculous teaching that prior to Christ, prior to the first advent, the coming of Christ, Jews were saved by faith alone, looking forward to the cross. How many of you heard that? That's most fundamental teachers that I've heard or some version of that, that the Old Testament saints were saved by simply looking forward to the cross. Now, Old Testament saints actually waited for the coming of the Christ.
Amen.
And I want to describe it real quickly for you. In Acts 3:22, it says, For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. And of course, we know that was Jesus. But this is prophecy. So he's speaking in the future. And he says, Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Jews had the covenant of the promise of Christ. And when they died, if they died with faith in this promise, they didn't go to heaven. And now, stop here. There are people who will falsely accuse me of teaching the Old Testament saints weren't saved. I didn't say that. I said when they died, they didn't go to heaven. You see how people are? If you hear some people accusing me or some other preacher that you know is probably a sound teacher, listen to the exact words of the accusation. Because I didn't say they weren't saved, but I did say they didn't go to heaven. They went to paradise. But they had to live by faith and remain faithful unto the end. That's a fact. You today are, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. If you're saved, you're saved. You don't become saved by enduring to the end. That's different. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just repeat the old statement that it's like a motto around here that we always teach. Repeat with me. Things that are different are not the same. Say it again. Things that are different are not the same. And it's so obvious, and yet people don't get it. Deuteronomy 32:20, Old Testament unfaithful are lost. They could have been circumcised. They could have been believers for a certain amount of time. But if they did not endure to the end and they were unfaithful, they were lost. Deuteronomy 32:20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. There was, but then there wasn't. And they're lost if they die like that.
Amen.
Under the Old Testament. Now, in that doesn't include just the Mosaic Law. That's, look. In the Garden of Eden, there was no eternal security. Did you know that?
Yep.
That's a dispensation, and Eve and Adam lost their salvation.
Yep.
Now, I believe they got it back in the second dispensation. I expect to see Adam and Eve in heaven.
Amen.
But what they had, they lost. Yep. No eternal security there. In Habakkuk 2:4, how many of you say Habakkuk? Okay. I went to a church one time where everybody said Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4. Read that. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Look close to that. The just, listen, if you repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have believed that gospel, you're justified now. And nothing will ever undo that. In this day, you had to live by your faith in order to be just. Big difference. And those who are left behind to live through the 70th week of Daniel must also be faithful and endure to the end to be saved. That's not you. But those who are left behind, they basically have to not take the mark and die without the mark of the beast. And do so with faith. Because there'll be some who don't take the mark, but they're still not believers. We talked about that in the book of Daniel. There'll be patriot groups and that type of thing. In Matthew 24:13, which is about the tribulation period, not the church. Tribulation, faith, or saved. It says, but he that shall, what?
Endure.
Endure unto the end. The same shall be saved. Amen. That's not you. That's them. Yep. So salvation is not the same in every dispensation. And in the Old Testament, they were waiting for the Christ to appear. They had no idea what His name was going to be. And the Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But they didn't know the name. So how were they saved? They were looking for the coming of the Christ, and they did not understand the death, burial, and resurrection, by the way. They didn't. Even Jesus is talking to His followers while He's on earth, and He repeatedly told them, Christ must be crucified, but I'll rise again the third day. And they say, I wonder what He means by that. They did. How many of you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Then you should know what I just said is true. Right up to even after He was resurrected. They didn't understand it. So don't tell me all the Old Testament saints were saved by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't understand it, and they didn't know His name. Until they're in paradise. If you did endure in the end, you went to paradise and waited on Christ.
Amen. That's correct.
And you know He showed up?
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
Turn your Bibles to Luke 16. At this point, I ought to turn off the air conditioner and preach on hell. Because this is one of the most clear passages on this question of what was it like before the resurrection of Jesus Christ when you died in faith in the Old Testament. Where did you go? What happened? And Jesus tells us in Luke 16, beginning in verse 20, we'll see that Abraham's bosom is the area we're referring to, and it's not heaven. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22 begins by saying, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and look where he's carried. Was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We're going to see that's not heaven. It's paradise. Jesus told the thief on the cross, He called it paradise. And it's in the earth. And it's next to a place called hell.
Yep. Amen.
It's not in heaven. Verse 22 ends by saying, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. That's where I keep getting that word. And Lazarus in his bosom. You will not see hell from heaven. One of the things that makes heaven heaven is the fact that you're not going to see hell. But this was before Jesus came and won the victory over sin, see? So they were in a place that was Abraham's bosom, and it was paradise, but it wasn't heaven yet. Look at verse 26. Now watch this. This is fascinating. And beside all this, between us, heaven and hell, and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So in the center of the earth, you have hell, you have heaven, and you have a gulf fixed in between. One could not pass over, but they could see. And they actually were seeing each other. The rich man was seeing Abraham and Lazarus, and they were seeing the rich man in hell. Old Testament salvation is not the same as in this dispensation. you die in this dispensation before the rapture, you immediately go to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In this time, you didn't. You went into a place called paradise. Old Testament saints were not born again.
Amen.
I ask people who teach this nonsense about, you know, well, we're all saved the same way. Where was it ever? Show me the Old Testament saint that was born again.
None.
Not there.
None.
They're not sealed into the day of redemption. They have to endure the end. No one was baptized into the body of Christ before the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not the same. No one was indwelt by God's Spirit permanently. Mm-hmm. And only, the Bible seems to teach it was only a select number who were. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily permanent. No one is justified by faith alone. We already saw where you live by faith to be just. You and I are justified by faith alone. And so forth. We could list all kinds of things about you that isn't true about those Old Testament saints. Church age saints are all of the above. If you're saved now, you're born again. You're sealed under the day of redemption. You've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. You are indwelt by God's Spirit. And you are justified.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But there was salvation for the Jew who believed and endured. But uncircumcised Gentiles had no biblical faith. That's why our ancestors were so filled with superstition. They didn't have biblical faith. We were aliens with no covenant of promise, as it's described in verse 12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We always see that word aliens and we think of little green men. Amen. An alien is someone who is not a part of that nation and is in that nation. And that's why we used to call illegal immigrants illegal aliens. And we used to call illegal immigrants illegal aliens because, or we now call them illegal immigrants because it's more politically correct. Because they're not immigrants. They're aliens. And they're illegal. But we can't say that. That's what I was talking about earlier about you got to be careful what you call people now. Gentiles were in a miserable shape. We were godless. Meaning we had many gods who weren't gods. They were devils. Your ancestors, if they had little idols or images, Paul said there was a devil.
Yes.
And they were godless. Read verse 12 there. Having no hope and without God in the world. And amen. And that's you and I before we were saved. That's Jew and Gentile without Christ. Without God, having no hope. Godless Gentiles are still without hope. I just want to show you this, what it's like to have no hope and without God. We're talking about superstition. Well, growing up, this is the man who we thought was Superman. And listen to this.
Well, believe it or not, I think that you know, God is not an entity that you find when you, you know, go to church and pray to God Almighty. You know, I always remember that in going to church as a kid, you know, when they talk about the vengeance of his terrible swift sword and his armies and all that, I said, wow, that's kind of a scary guy, you know. But I think that, I don't believe in God per se, I believe in spirituality. And I believe that spirituality actually is automatically within ourselves, but we have to learn how to access it. And what that is realizing there is a higher power. There is
so it's not atheism.
More than just us. There is an inner strength. There is something, you know, that comes from. I don't know where exactly it comes from, but it's. It really is the best that humans can be, and perhaps what it is. Well, perhaps really what it is love.
Oh,
yeah.
How empty can you get?
That's the typical American.
Yeah.
The typical American you talk to would tell exactly, and they think there's something great about the fact that while they don't believe in God or don't believe in the God of the Bible, they're spiritual. And, you know, I've met people who said, well, I'm not a Christian, but I am spiritual. And a Christian knows that they're talking to somebody that if they really are spiritual, then they're messing with devils.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If it ain't Holy Spirit, it's unholy spirit.
Amen.
If you're spiritual and it's not the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual with an unholy spirit. And that's just all there is to it. And our fairy tales help to give people that false impression. If you go back to the Disney cartoons, you know, the Cinderella's and
Snow White.
And you always have a good witch.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a good witch.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz, didn't they have a white witch in that?
Yeah.
And then you have Narnia. They had a white witch. The Lord of the Rings. Yeah. There was Gandalf, supposed to be the good guy. He was into divination, the occult. Harry Potter, I mean, that goes without saying. And, you know, even we talked about the Star Wars revival that's gone on, and George Lucas, who is an apostate Methodist, who preaches this yin and yang, and that there's no good and evil, there's just dark and light. Folks, and we talked about a few weeks ago, karma. Karma. There's no such thing. It's pagan. All this stuff. But it just seems like people are so blind today.
They are.
They're so open to everything except for what the Bible teaches. It's just amazing. And it says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, this is true of you if you're saved, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Every one of us, when we were lost, we're far off. I've heard, every once in a while you'll hear people say, "Well, I've just always been a Christian." No, you weren't. I don't care what you think, you weren't. "I've just always been saved." No. No. You were lost, and if you are saved today, at some point you had to acknowledge your condition of being lost, of being a sinner by nature, and of being guilty of actually doing those deeds. And if you didn't acknowledge that and then repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not a Christian now. You weren't born a Christian. You had to be born again.
Amen.
And I think there are churches filled with people who, because they were raised in church and raised with a basic understanding of what the Bible says about certain things, they think they've just always been a Christian, and I am a Christian. And then when I or any preacher stands up here and preaches what you're hearing right now, they turn it off. I knew a guy who had hearing aids, and not everybody in the church knew it, but I could always tell when he had turned it off. Because he'd just smile. Just sit there and smile. He wasn't hearing a thing. And that's what, spiritually, a lot of Christians do. Christians, I'm telling you, I'm not pointing to anybody in this room because I don't know. I can't point. But I've dealt with enough to know some. And I believe there's a lot more than I know who think they know everything. So when the preacher stands up there and says something that they don't agree with, they turn their spiritual hearing aid off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people do. And some of these people are those people who say, I've just always been a Christian. And they will not recognize the reality that until they are born again, they're far off. And poor old Larry King and Christopher Reeves, that's pathetic to see that interview, but that's typical today.
Yep.
Of what the American spirit is about today. And that's why we're seeing what we're seeing in this world. That's why we're seeing it go in the direction it's gone, because so many Americans today, even among those who call themselves Christian, are far from God. You are not left without hope. Just repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will do that, you will have hope. If you will do that, you will have the promises that we've been talking about in the previous messages in our study of Ephesians. If you will repent of your belief that you've always been a Christian, or if you will repent of your belief that my religion's good enough, or if you'll repent of what Christopher Reeve said, and that we all have, you know, spirituality in us, and we just have to learn to tap into it. And if you will face the reality of the need of salvation and turn to God empty-handed and receive what He has, then you can have salvation, which brings hope. But Americans today, just by and large, aren't even listening. And we have to remember that it was by the blood of Christ.
Hallelujah.
We were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Jesus, if Jesus would have been drowned, you'd still be dead in your sins.
Amen, that's right.
If they had strangled Jesus, you'd still be dead in your sins. If they had poisoned Jesus, if they had beat Him, because you can beat people without making them bleed and they'll die. If He had died any other way than, number one, shedding His blood, but because we know the Bible prophesied in Psalm 22 and then also Zechariah talks about they'll look upon Him whom they pierced.
Right.
He had to be pierced. And He had to shed His blood. All the things we talked about with the Old Testament, the Passover lamb, they slit that lamb's throat and shed the blood. All those goats that they sacrificed, they slit their throat and shed their blood. All that blood was to picture the shed blood of the Messiah that would pay for sin. And so when Jesus came and John the Baptist looked out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," He was reminding them of that Passover lamb. And that Passover lamb that would be without spot or blemish. And they would examine it and find no fault, just like they did with Jesus.
Amen.
3.5 years they examined Him and they couldn't find fault. When they put Him on trial, they had to lie about Him. And they couldn't convict Him of doing anything wrong. And they took that innocent lamb, just like the lamb on the Passover, and they shed its blood. And in shedding His blood, it was the shedding of sinless, stainless, perfect, divine blood. And that's why Jesus' blood pays for your sins. Because it was perfect. It was without spot. It was divine blood shed. That's why it's so insane. Folks, our whole world and our whole country is being unified together. In July, I don't have the clips. We'll talk about it again sometime in the next couple of weeks. In July, some of the biggest names in Christianity, including men like Ravi Zacharias, are going to join with the Pope and join in a unity celebration in Washington, D.C. It's not just the unsaved world. It's even within Christianity. The spirit of Antichrist is swarming through churches. And the preachers are failing to warn the flock because, as Jesus said, they're hirelings.
Amen.
And if they weren't hirelings, they would care for the sheep. But they're not hirelings, so they abandon the sheep to the error that's taking place. And I'll guarantee you there'll be very few churches in this area that'll warn their people, and most of the churches will support their people going to that ecumenical gathering. And the Pope is the main figure at that meeting.
Wow.
And then I'm throwing this free of charge just because it's important. You see all these so-called prophecy teachers. And it's amazing that so many of them want to convince you that the Pope isn't the Antichrist. And they want to give you this idea, this Islamic Antichrist, a lot of them. And trying to give you the idea that the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church is just another denomination.
Wow.
And we should just all join together to fight Islam. They don't realize they're actually supporting and working for the Antichrist by preaching that. The Antichrist spirit is filling even our prophecy conferences today. The last one I went to, I tried to talk to a couple of the fellows and just ask them questions about, you know, why they say this and they don't accept what Bible-believing preachers have preached for hundreds of years about the Antichrist and how that the final pope will be the Antichrist and that the papal system is Antichrist system and that the Roman Catholic Church is Mystery Babylon and that the ecumenical gathering under Rome is an end-time apostasy. All that used to be preached everywhere and today they won't preach it. And when I talk to these guys, they just one guy just basically blew me off. And others just, well, I don't really believe, you know, they try to talk to you, but they won't give you any explanation for why they've abandoned what our fathers preached. I'll tell you why. Because they are being deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. And it is a spirit of deception that would tell you that it's the blood of Christ doesn't matter. He just had to die. No, he had to shed his blood.
Hallelujah.
Right. And it's the spirit of Antichrist that would say, well, there's many paths to heaven. You have your way, I have mine. Your truth is not necessarily my truth. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's on all the major networks. That's in all the public schools. That's in most of the churches. And your cure for all that is to stay true to the Word of God. You stay in the book and you stay true to the Word. What if the rest of the world preaches this false Antichrist gospel? What are you going to do? Stand with the book. Amen?
Amen.
What if the rest of the world says, well, that bloody religion, it's just barbaric and we need to get away and get to where we tap into our own spirituality. I'm going to stand with the blood.
Amen.
And the rest of the world says, well, the idea that Jesus would come and rapture us at any moment, that's just crazy talk. And you got, if he does come, it's going to be at the end of the tribulation. I'm going to stick with the blessed hope.
Amen.
The book, the blood, the blessed hope.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's prayer.